All right. So, Weldworks New England Style Milkshake Session IPA Fake Item Box. Guests first.
Kicking off the podcast. Welcome to Focus on the Beer. I'm Ryan Hannigan. I'm here with Josh Howard.
Hello.
He's pouring himself a nice little session milkshake IPA. I don't even know. There's too many words in that beer.
It's a session
IPA. Fake Item Box, which I've had before, but supposedly this is a new batch.
Yeah, it's got a real fruit-forward kind of thing going for it, and then it finishes just super creamy.
And I guess we should probably introduce our guest today.
Nah.
We got Sam Sly from Resolute Brewing. He's their international man of marketing. It's one of those titles that you really just want to see on a business card.
Yeah.
It has to be abbreviated because international is alone probably too long to fit in the spot there, but...
So IMOM is what it's going to be then?
Oh, no, like INTL dot, man of MKTG, I don't know what I might put in there.
INTL, print symbol of yeah. Marketing.
Yeah, I could go with that. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, that's the end. See you guys later. We'll talk to you guys next year.
Bye!
Cheers.
Yeah, we're just joking. That's just the beginning here. Sam came down from Denver to talk to us a little bit about Resolute's new plans. They've got a new location open up pretty soon, and new packaging, it looks like, too.
Yeah, we do. We're just going all in these days. It's been a little wild around the office. We're having a good time. The location's been kind of in the works for a while, but we're officially getting to the point where beer is even allowed on premise and stuff, so.
Ooh, that's happy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's permit town. How nice.
I know. It's been a wild ride, especially, we're not manufacturing anything up there, so.
Just a tap room?
Just a barrel aging and tap room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we got a nice.
So you got the licensing to be able to bring the beer there.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And we are to the point where we can actually have stuff on site now. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. We got like a temper controlled barrel room. The tap room is. Got a homage to our original Centennial location. So it's got a circular bar and it's open. I think they call it postmodern. I'm not a designer or anything like that. Sorry, guys. But a real nice looking spot, man. It's up in Northwest Arvada. It's kind of, it feels like you might be out in the sticks, but
really?
It's in a brand new development of, I think right now they have like 1,500. Residential houses that are being built up over there.
So is it kind of like between Arvada and Broomfield?
It's more towards Golden, actually.
Okay. So more west then.
Yeah. I was driving up to it, and I drove by Holidaily for the first time. Like, oh, there's where Holidaily is. That's cool. We've been serving their beer down in Centennial since we opened.
Their new location?
They're building across from their original location.
Yeah, that big, huge one.
Yeah.
I got
to peek in the window. It's sweet.
It's humongous.
Yeah, they're going big, and I am really happy for them.
They've got great gluten-free beer.
I had never had any of their beer other than the blonde until I went to their brewery, and their porter was... It was up there, man.
You can't tell that it's not gluten-free.
Yeah, yeah. Very
on point.
It is good. So yeah, we're about 6-7 miles from Holidaily, which means Cannonball Creek's kind of a neighbor, more or less, over there, too.
Nice.
But
it's a long haul for you guys.
Yeah. 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 I think the big plan was to try and get into a market that, you know, was still not that any place is super overserved, but we're trying to get to a place where the need was still... Definitely
fresh.
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like a new market that's being opened up with all these people. The development's called Candelas. So literally there's going to be several hundred homes, if not a few more, that are within walking distance.
Just ripe for the picking.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all super, super stoked. I mean, we've been getting questions ever since we announced that we're opening a second location December. When? So we were very, very excited to be able to tell people when. Last Friday with a massive confetti party.
Right, and it was like, what, 2 weeks? You're like, oh, we're opening in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which usually those announcements are like, we're opening in 4.5 months.
Yeah, no, we didn't really want to drag it out, or I don't know how to put that. We didn't want to tease too bad. But yeah, the nice thing, going kind of back to the fact that we're not manufacturing on there, it's nice that we didn't have to deal with any of that kind of licensing.
Yeah.
So yeah, once we kind of knew we could take occupancy and stuff, we had all the talks of, all right, how are we doing this, and when are we getting people in the doors?
Push it along.
Yeah, yeah, so we're really excited. We're going to have Oh, you know what? I didn't read my notes close enough. We're going to have several barrel-aged beers on tap, and about a good handful of our standard offerings, you know, some IPAs, Kolsch's, stuff like that. So, you know, it's not going to be just one big barrel party up there. We'll be able to enjoy some normal beer, too.
But nice. You're saying barrel parties can happen.
Don't quote me on that, but... Sure. Just tell them I said yes. If any of the owners listen to this, thanks for everything, guys. I assume this is the end of it for me right here.
That's what a lot of our guests say on
the
show.
How does our podcast keep ending careers?
I don't know.
It's a career-ending move.
It's all good.
Well, thanks for driving down from Denver. How was the traffic on 25?
Surprisingly, it wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah. I was talking to a couple people on the phone, and before I knew it, I had to actually start paying attention to the GPS and cut off some people. Like, I got to go. Bye. See ya.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, it's always a good time to get down here to Colorado Springs. I mean,
it's been a while.
It has. I mean, I did make a quick trip a few weeks back, and I do feel like a jerk for not telling
you. Right.
Anybody.
You were at the Black Sheep. I saw.
It wasn't the Black Sheep. It was the Oscar Blues spot where the old Chicago used to be.
Yeah, downstairs. Yeah. You had a show there. I saw it. It was like the next day. I was like, really?
I know. And I felt like a jerk. I'm like, I probably should at least told Ryan I was coming.
You could have met the baby.
I know. I wanted to be appropriate when I meet the little one. I was not appropriate after that show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it was a nice little drive. And, it's... always good to be down here.
So how long have you been with Resolute now?
Oh, about a year and a half, if not a little bit more.
Seems
it's been
like
September of 2017, so it'll be 2 years this September.
Yeah, so pretty good amount of time.
Yeah, did a lot of stuff there, really. Did start bartending, still doing a lot of bartending, but the marketing has been a good time.
And Resolute's been open, I think they just did, their third anniversary?
We'll be having our third anniversary in August.
Okay.
Yeah. So once we open up this new spot, we get to talk about that, which I have no information on.
I have no clue what's going on.
Immediately, I saw you guys look like, nope. I got nothing there for you.
Well, we know it's in August.
Late August. Yeah, that's the best I can give you at this point.
Okay.
So hopefully I'm not spoiling anything there.
No, that's good. I was in at Resolute after Collab Fest, actually. Popped in there for a little bit. And
is that the day I saw you there?
No, you weren't there that day.
Okay.
Much to my disappointment.
I'm surprised I wasn't there. I feel like I'm there a lot, and I don't mean that as a diss. I just...
Yeah, it was the time...
My days off, I'm still hanging out there.
It was the time before that.
Yeah, the time before.
I forget what I was there for that time.
There was something going on.
Is that my friends going away party?
I think it was your friends going away party, yeah. I do remember that, because there were some cigars going on.
Oh, yeah.
I was hanging out for a bit. Then I had to go to something else, because no rest for the wicked, right, boys?
I think you had a show again that night, actually. You were heading out to a show.
I don't know what show it was, but I was going to it.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Who knows?
But I remember you were leaving for a show.
Yep.
Which is a perfectly good reason to leave me behind.
You know, I feel like I do that a lot too, unfortunately. I think I had to go to a propaganda show after one of your birthday parties.
You did. You did. That was the six brewery bar crawl. Yeah. You're like, I'm only good for three and then I gotta go.
I hung out, I think, till four. I think I stretched a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was a day. Good show there.
That was a rough day that day.
Yeah. That was the worst part was, and neither of you were there for this, at the end of it, I thought we could walk from where we were to a light rail station to the south, and we were nowhere near a light rail station. It was like this awful forced march, and no one will ever let me live it down that had to go through it. So
because everyone's a little drunk.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone was
walking
really
to this mythical rail station
by the time we
exist.
This
finally
promised
got
land.
To this light rail station. So yeah, it was. Oops.
Right. What part of town were you in?
We basically just headed south from True.
Oh, yeah. If you want to go to the Broadway station, I think you have to go north from there.
Yeah.
Oops. Whoops. Classic. Right. Classic move.
Yeah. In my defense, I had been drinking.
Yes, you had.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It happens. So then the other thing that you guys have happened recently is you started canning.
Yes. Yes. Just doing really small batches. We don't have any highfalutin, crazy technological canning equipment. We don't have much space. If you still come
so
to the...
someone comes in and does it, like a canning...
No, we still do it all. I helped can this one here that we have in front of us that I'll talk about in a moment. Oh. It was a little five-man operation. It was a lot of fun, actually.
So you're using like a little two-can seamer?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like a smaller crawler machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of work.
It does, but it goes quickly. We went through about 400 cans yesterday in, I don't know, I'm going to say like 4 hours, and that was with a lunch break, like a pretty hefty lunch break in there too. So it goes quick if you got enough people there. If,
right.
You know, if we got a couple of guys doing it, it's going to take some time and probably be a super pain, but.
Big assembly line.
Yeah, but no, it's cool. We're doing 16-ounce cans. The first release we did a few weeks ago was actually a collaboration with Something Brewery, and I always forget, they're in Brighton. I know they're one of the Northern B suburbs. But yeah, we did two beers with them. One we did at their facility, and that was the Espionage. This one, the Dark Sour Brute IPA that they aged, or didn't age, but they I think they fermented it on plums. Plums are in the play here somewhere. The label says made with plums, and this is why I'm great at marketing, is because I know exactly what's going on all the time. But and then we did at our location in Centennial the Cape of Good Hop, which is a double brute India Pale Ale with South African hops and Chenin Blanc grapes.
Wow.
This one's wild. I am looking forward to.
Let's start with that one.
Yeah. Shall I?
Yeah. Let's
get a soundbite.
That was pretty darn good.
I do so miss nice. That from the podcasting days. Here, Josh. Yeah. I still have some of this.
Jeez, you got to finish that beer.
I know.
You know, I didn't like this version of the Fake Item Box.
You didn't?
No.
What didn't you like about it?
It was too bitter.
It starts out a little bitter, and I want to say the can I had before this, because this is the second can out of the 4-pack I picked up, didn't drink quite that bitter.
You guys are getting bitterness out of this?
I get bitterness out of that.
There's a little note at the beginning, and then...
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It finishes super smooth and super milkshakey. I mean, it's got a definite vanilla note at the end.
Yeah, it's just that initial, like, just hit hop bitterness right at the beginning. That, you know, it's weird to say that, because, like... It's an IPA, like,
yeah.
Come on, it should have that. But with all these milkshake beers, I expect it to be just smooth.
This is probably going to be another one of those.
I gotcha.
There was a debate raging on, I forget if it was Colorado Let's Talk Craft Beer or one of the other beer groups, but they were talking about the amount of time that you think you should wait on a fresh hop beer. You know, and some of them will buy it and then let it sit for a week or two, just kind of mellow out, let some of that green settle.
Yeah. It was the New England IPAs on the New England group, I think.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Airman asked it.
That would make sense. That would be the perfect.
And the consensus was like a month to 2 months, basically, is what people
really?
Were saying. Like, 3 weeks to, like, 6 weeks, essentially.
Okay.
And even, like, Brandon Capps from New Image chimed in. A lot of people that were you know, basically, you know, like, hey, while brewers do want you to drink it pretty much fresh right away, you know, they're not going to package it and say, hold on to this for 2 months.
I've sat in a room with him. He's a very knowledgeable guy.
And yeah.
He can get super, super technical. Like, that guy knows beer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if he had some opinions, I would definitely say.
Yeah, it's a good thread. If you're part of the Colorado, New England, and Hazy IPA group, check it out. Just find it and give it a read. It's got some good
unless you've
good
been
info.
Recently purged from it.
Yeah, you might be recently purged.
Can you read it if you're not a member?
No, I think you have
no,
to
I
be
think
a
it's
member.
Closed.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, it makes an interesting point. You know, are these maybe being released before their time versus, you know, is there a certain demographic that wants it right away and other people who'd like it better if they do wait that month or whatever?
So I feel like I even saw something going around recently of people commenting on some of these coming out still a little green, like they need to condition a little bit more even, which...
And I think that was kind of the impetus for the thread was that some of these didn't seem quite ready for prime time.
I might not be as far out of the loop as I thought I was today, guys. This is cool.
Good job.
You're right inside of the loop. This is a good beer.
Yeah,
this is wine grapes.
It's interesting, right?
That's very interesting.
This is when I tell people at the brewery if they come in and you get those guys that are... anybody, I say guys, you get those folks that are, I'm not much of a beer drinker, what do you got? I'm like, well, if you like white wine, try this thing out.
Oh, yeah.
And I think my success rate is at about 50%. People are either really like, yeah, that tastes like white wine, I can do that. They're like, no, that still tastes like beer to me.
Yeah.
Which it does have the beer qualities, but
there's a little dry and bitterness that you know, lets you know it's a beer.
And I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's almost like... an umami dimension to it. It has like some sort of weight, mm-hmm. despite being a brute, because it is still dry. It's not crazy sweet, but it's
right.
It's got some bulk to it. And this thing is 10% too. So
that, yeah. I was going to say that may have a lot to do with the Chenin Blanc must that you added to it, because yeah. that will, you know, there's a certain degree of that that's just not going to ferment out. And with a beer. I mean, I know yeah. the brute yeast will go from hell to breakfast, but
yeah, yeah,
I still
sure.
think that wine must might hang out longer.
And interestingly enough, I had a few conversations with some people about this, and then I went to Fiction Brewing on Saturday, and they have a collaboration with Liberati, and I always butcher how to pronounce those beers. Someone's like, they're Inno beers or something like that?
Yeah, Inno beer, that's
the right way of
doing
it?
That's how you say it.
I think that's the first time I said it right.
But the,
first
but the beer names?
Are, yeah, they're,
it's just gibberish.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it had a well, good thing I'm fluent in gibberish.
Italian,
I
know, just
especially
gibberish.
After enough of those Inno beers, and I'm crazy fluent in gibberish. But it had a they were calling it a hazy Inno beer, some junk like that, and it had a similar. It was a red wine versus the white grapes, but it had the similar kind of that weight that I keep talking about to it. Which, you know, if I took some Cicerone stuff, I might know what I'm doing. But
slightly chewy.
Yes, I like that. Yeah. Slightly chewy is a good verb for this or adjective.
It's got medium full body. This BJCP thing is paying off.
That sounds like a Men's Warehouse type size.
Does.
That's actually what I wear in pants, medium full body.
I think I wear medium chewy, actually.
You look like a medium chewy.
Yeah, don't I?
Rest in peace, Peter
R.I.P.
Mayhew.
R.I.P. Peter. Someone was telling me that Peter Mayhew was 7'4", and that's why he died at 74. So by that math, I'm going to die at 56. 57, huh? If you believe my driver's license.
66.
Yeah. Sweet.
What's 50, 10, 60? So I'll be a 60.
All right, there you go. Yeah. That's a good. Just before you need to start signing up for ARP.
Exactly.
Don't stop ARP from sending stuff to your house when you're like 45, though.
I'm pretty sure you can just give them someone's name and they'll start sending it, even if they're 24.
Mm-hmm.
So being that you're out of the loop, I don't know if you've seen beer Twitter lately.
Probably the most out of the loop on beer Twitter, if I'm being honest. I show up to go like pester people, and if I'm really drunk one night and drinking alone, then I'll I'll get on beer Twitter and go through a barrage of terrible tweets. So carry on. Let's see what I got here.
The biggest thing, that there's a big lot of hoopla surrounding BrewDog.
Yeah, of course there is.
Is this Scottish the Brewery. Interview designer thing?
So there's two different instances that have been called out. So one was they've just released their Punk IPA in a zero alcohol version.
Really?
They're naming it Punk AF. Alcohol free.
Yeah.
But then it also has that, you know, as fuck, mm-hmm. like as yeah. the, you know, the double meaning. Well, so that one of these design companies was like, we pitched you that idea and you said, nah, we're not going to use that. And then 3 months later decided to use it. Like, what the heck? Like, this is not... And they're like, well, no, you were on retainer. Like, we weren't on retainer for brand work. We were on retainer for, like, marketing stuff, not your brand stuff. And so there's this big, huge range. And so then what happened is people just came out of the woodwork and said, oh, yeah. You know, there was another time that, you know, that these other marketing groups claimed that they all went and they all participated on a pitch. BrewDog said, you know what? We're not going to hire anybody. And then they took basically cherry picked bits and pieces from each one and did their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing was this lady applied for their marketing director job at their new Columbus, Ohio brewery, and she went through five different interviews, Skype interviews, got flew out for an interview with James, their owner in Ohio, to get blown off.
Isn't his name Elvis now?
I don't know what it is.
Keep going. I have heard this story. This is a good one.
And so essentially, like, she flew out there for this interview. The guy didn't show, so it's a missed interview.
Yeah.
You know, it was told that she would be reimbursed for her flight, was never reimbursed. She brought all this up. So then, like, the next day, the owner guy publishes a screenshot clipped off from her. She sent an invoice basically to protect her intellectual property rights.
Sure.
Saying, you know, if you decide to use this, please pay me. But if you don't pay me, then I still retain rights to the work that I did. And it's things like a 2018 marketing plan for BrewDog and like all this crazy stuff. Well, it turns out he only sent just the invoice items, not the paragraph saying that if you don't pay, then all the things will retain to me, and saying, well, someone's trying to invoice us for all their interviews. And it's like, no, this is just a protection type thing. So it's going out. They're getting some crazy things. But there's also people going against attacking this marketing lady, saying, oh, my gosh, you charge $125 an hour?
Blah, that's blah, blah. Cheap.
I know.
By the good graces of Worst Beer Blog, I did hear this story.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, Worst Beer Blog. Yep, they cover it.
Bless their, his, whoever's heart that runs that account. But
they're good people.
Absolutely. And when I read that, I had mixed emotions. Like, I did I saw mostly the chain of tweets from the lady who applied for the marketing director and flew out on her own dime under the guise of being reimbursed and stuff. And yeah, that's shitty. I mean, that bummed me out. I do know I've interviewed for marketing jobs where they want you to do that. And I've always kind of wondered, I'm like, you know, what would I do if somebody took one of my ideas, didn't hire me, and then used it? I mean, I'd be pissed.
Right.
Absolutely. And I mean, I don't know if there's a legal recourse, and I haven't discussed it with my slew of attorneys that I have on retainer.
I guess you'd have a little bit of a problem because of, you know, since it's unused, there's not really a copyright sort of thing that exists there. I mean,
you'd have to prove it, and usually what happens is that the individual doesn't want to retain the lawyer to actually fight it in court.
Yeah, that's,
and the big guys win
because the cost outweighs the benefit.
Because that's super fucking punk to have the better lawyer.
Well, it's just crazy. Like, these.
Is it punk AF?
It probably is.
It's punk AF.
Probably is.
The funniest thing, the best comment I saw, it might have been on Twitter. Someone's like, I'm a equity for punks investor, and I'm angry about this. And people are just like, wait, so you just gave them money in a private equity with basically no way to get your money out.
Yeah, you're just
a shareholder
putting it out into the void.
Yeah, watching the ship just burn and sink.
Have either
it's
of
not
you,
sinking, but
no, it's definitely not sinking. But have either of you read the terms of that at all? I haven't. So
I mean, haven't
that's,
either.
That's just more of a general question I'm curious about now. I didn't really think about it until just this moment.
I haven't, but you get access to some of their special beers, and you get a birthday beer at one of their bars if you go on your birthday.
Do you get to fly in that crazy jet they do?
I don't think you do. The one where everyone was drunk and puked everywhere.
Yeah, they didn't predict that people were gonna have to pee every 10 minutes or whatever.
They're
so the bathroom
so
got
much.
All jacked up.
It's like a beer festival. Have you seen the line of the bathrooms at GABF? That's the best bathroom facility around, and there's always a line.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was just a crazy it's like holy crap.
Oh yeah, and I'm glad I did actually catch whatever bits and pieces of that I did because. From a professional standpoint, I've seen these processes.
Oh yeah.
And but then from my current personal standpoint, I'm like, yeah, that is garbage.
Yeah. I mean, last year when I was applying for design jobs, there's a lot of them where they're like, can you do this project? And there's always that thing in the back of your mind going, is this a project for a client that you have right now?
Yeah.
Where you're just getting free work? Or is it just a fake project? And the good companies were just like, we'll pay you for your time. Spend 4 hours on this. We'll pay you for 4 hours at XYZ hour per hour. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah. See, that's
cool. Send it in with an invoice.
Transparency. That's good.
Right. A lot of places do that, but there's a lot of them that don't. And that they're like, especially for this, you looked at what she presented. And then she also posted up an email from their recruiter. And it's like, we need one new social media idea. We need one blog idea. We need one beer relaunch release idea. We need, four different advertising ideas. We need a 2018 marketing plan for BrewDog.
This is stuff I don't even get asked to do, and I get paid to do my job. But, marketing plans and stuff aside, but just that's such a structure. We need this, and this. Oops. I didn't touch the table, but I touched the microphone.
It's all good.
That's lava. Thank you, sir. May I have another? But no, it's and even the recruiter's like, I'm sorry to ask this again. I know you're really deep in the weeds here. However, they worded it, but it's like,
it just makes you sort of go creepy crawly.
It felt dirty.
Yeah, it does, and especially five interviews plus five Skype interviews plus in person interviews. and you're still asking them to like submit a plan. Like, it's like, all right, you know if you want this person or not. And so basically what she came back saying is like, you just kept asking for more content knowing you weren't going to hire me.
Yeah.
Like, you're just wanting this additional content knowing that you're just going to use it.
Yeah. Well, then that's, I think that's the biggest problem with this whole situation. Kind of what we were saying is it turns into a he said, she said, or whoever said whatever. And it's you're shoehorning, or not shoehorning, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it.
But railroading?
Yeah, that's a good word. I like that. Railroading is good, but you know that someone that really wants this job, and you, it's almost like extortion, really. That's,
yeah, basically
that
is.
I don't like using inflammatory words like that, but that's what it just feels like.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, there's still like a big back and forth on the Twitter sphere about it.
Maybe James will do the right thing and pay that invoice.
At least, you know, it's
that's a good step in the right direction, right?
Well, it's funny because there was also like 36 dozen cookies or something like that on there for like $194 that she was like, nope, that's free.
Free cookies. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see that part.
$900 flight.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, 5 Skype interviews at
$125. And a marketing plan at like 10 hours or 25 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you spent this much time on a job interview. They should be compensating you at least. And I know places that hire someone, they'll hire you. They'll do a couple interviews, and then if they think you're, you know, close, they'll hire you for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then basically, like, at a lower rate, and then they'll say, well, at the end of that 6 months, then we'll evaluate how you've done.
Yeah.
And either give you, like, the normal rate, or we say, see you later.
I've definitely interviewed for jobs, and even one of my jobs right out of college, it was, I was agreeing to an immediate salary at an intermediate basis, and you know, we were tossing ideas out in the interviews and stuff. But once I hit like my probationary period of 3 months, then I'd get an immediate, like, I don't know, it was like a $6,000 raise or something really, really like respectable. And it and they were good about it. You know, they made good on that.
Yeah,
it all went through well. I mean, there's ways to do this.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know. I rag on BrewDog. I've never actually, to my knowledge, had their beer. I have one of their shirts because some of my friends went to Scotland. They said the place in Scotland was rad.
And I've heard it's a just crazy cool spot.
I was watching their dogs. They brought me a shirt back, and I still wear it. But at the same time, like, I feel bad because I rag on them, and I have this shirt. And, you know, I just have guilt issues. I'm not even Catholic. It's messed up.
It's okay.
I know. We all do, right? Or is it just me?
We all do. So let's take a quick little break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about festival season, the rest of the beers that Sam brought from Resolute, and whatever else comes up. So we'll be right back. And we are back.
It's like we were never gone.
I know. It's so nice. I hope you guys liked those little commercials there.
Got to pay them bills.
It doesn't pay for anything, but...
No.
It's there.
Got to put a dent in those bills?
Exactly. Put a dent in the bills. But, yeah, if you want to sponsor the podcast, let us know, and we'll make sure that your message gets out to all our listeners.
We still got that Patreon out there, too, you know.
We do.
You can pay to listen to our dulcet tones earlier than everyone else.
Yeah, we're going to... I think I need to change all the rewards up on there soon, but we'll see what happens.
Mix it up a little bit.
Mix it up, yeah. Just do a little bit.
Introduce a little chaos into the mix.
Chaos theory, you know?
I just watched The Dark Knight for the first time in a really long time, and I forgot how much I love the Joker in that movie.
I thought you said you hated that movie.
The Dark Knight Rises. Oh, okay. I did. The Dark Knight.
The original one.
Yeah, the second one in the trilogy.
Yeah.
So it's Batman Begins.
The Dark Knight.
And then
The Dark Knight Rises.
And The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, The Dark Knight's amazing.
Right.
Still
Dark
one of my
Knight
top
Rises
movies.
Is just like they phoned it in. That's the Bane one, right?
Rises. Yes. And it's paced like Usain Bolt running the 40-meter dash. It's so fast. Even though it's a 2.5 hour, 40-minute movie. I don't know. It's crazy. Either way.
So it's shorter than a Transformers movie.
Is it?
The only thing that's ever beat it in pacing is this year's season of Game of Thrones.
What's that?
Yeah, also not a Game of Thrones person. So.
Oh, okay. Man.
You might be on an island over there, Josh.
That's all right. It's still a solid joke for most of our listeners.
I read an article about spoilers the other day, so I mean, it looks like fun.
I watched the entirety of season 7 on my flights to New York because it was available for free. Not basically jumping in on season 7 as if it was a brand new show. So I'm like... The guy sitting next to me is like, you watch Game of Thrones a lot? I'm like, no, I've never seen it before. And he's like... so you're lost. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I watched, very lost.
What are you even doing?
Episodes, I watched two episodes from that season. The only two episodes I've ever seen. I just had some friends that were like, oh, we're watching Game of Thrones. You want to come over? I'm like, yeah, what the hell? I don't have anything going on tonight.
Yeah.
And they're like, you get three questions. And my first question was, all right, where's the beer? Second question was, can I have some pizza? And then I blew it on some other dumb question. And I had to sit there in silence and not know what I was doing anymore.
Yeah, and they're just running around, and
I feel like food-related questions should have been exempted from that rule.
I thought they would have been, but, you know, their house, their rules, whatever.
Mm.
I still enjoyed it. It was the episode where the undead dragons are just murdering everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Season 7.
It the blue, like, cool. Lightning fire or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't have to really know what's going on. I'm just like, yeah, that's cool. I get it. I get it now. I like the mountain. It works. Ah, that's a guy in the movie, too, or the show. I'm going to open this beer, guys. I'm really trying not to spray beer everywhere.
So this is the something collab that was brewed at something.
This is the one that was brewed in Brighton, Colorado.
With the plums. For those of you playing along
so
at
the
home.
Something Brewing crew, those guys are cool. If you ever see them at a beer festival, David, one of their owners, is just a cool guy.
And he does all their marketing, too. That guy has got ideas that rival mine for just insanity. And if I may, I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted you.
No, you're good.
When we were doing these collabs, they do these scavenger hunt promotions.
I saw those.
Holy moly! We were one of the stops, and to my knowledge, two people showed up. But he was explaining to me how you have to decode these things, and there's numbers, there's math, all the things that pretty much eliminate me from running for it. Period. And
kind of like a really complicated geocaching sort of thing.
Yeah, almost. And he came down and he was dropping off the labels for these cans and stuff. And I was picking his brain about it because we did a scavenger hunt ish kind of thing where we had empty crawlers with like swag in it around Denver.
Yeah.
And then I took pictures on Instagram and shared it. And I'm pretty sure 90% of those crawlers got picked up by vagabonds or facilities management people and thrown away because.
Man, that was trash.
We had free crawler coupons in there, and like one person redeemed it. But so he's telling me this elaborate.
That's a pretty good percentage, though, of engagement, though.
I didn't do the numbers because, again, math isn't really my thing.
How many total did you make?
10. We did it once a day for 5 days.
10% engagement on something like that? That's not bad.
All right.
Yeah, hey, that's.
All right.
Those are good social media odds right there.
Cliff, next time we talk, I'm bringing this up. But he was explaining all the rules to this, and I'm like, how did you even think of this? How did you even put it together? He was like, yeah. Dave was just saying, like, I kind of do regret it, but it's been a good time. But like I said, two people, I think, to my knowledge, came down to the brewery, and they got the codes right. And so it was, people could do it. It's possible.
It's just not that possible.
I think it weeds out a lot of the riffraff. That's all I'll say.
Hey, that's not a bad thing sometimes.
No.
Weeds out a lot of beer drinkers.
I mean, you can still go drink the beers. I don't remember what the prizes even were.
I don't know about this beer. It's good, but I just don't know what I'm tasting. I think it's just that the plums I'm getting.
Yeah, it's got this kind of dark, sour...
brute IPA flavor.
I don't really. It's, right? It's hard to call it a brute with that much. There's so much plum in it, it doesn't... drink dry like a brute.
It's almost got a raisiny, like dark, like toffee, caramely taste.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying with the dark sour sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's brewed with dark grains, which I'm not involved with the brewing aspect. They don't
dark
let me touch
grains. You say
dark grains. Ooh.
They don't let me touch the brewing equipment. But I don't know. I like this, and I'm not a big sour guy. Like, it's not too sour for me.
Right, you're sort of the new to the sour train.
Dark sour.
I mean, when I moved here from Michigan in 2012. A sour beer was a beer that you didn't drink because that means that shit went bad. So even when I post about my first sour beer experience in Colorado, all my friends from Michigan are like, what? Tell me more.
On purpose?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yeah. It's not just like we didn't clean out the mash tun quick enough and it went bad. It's in purpose on there.
I just noticed the kitty on the one side.
Right?
Yeah.
Very, very subtle. And David does all the artwork, I believe, from something for this stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's...
He's a man of many talents.
He's quite a skilled man. Makes me look like I'm really bad at my job.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of something brewing cans down here in the Springs. You can reliably get the We Met on the Internet and Maximum Effort down here. I've seen them in cans.
Are those frequently. Some of their hazies? I've heard their hazies are pretty good. I've honestly not tried anything other than what we've brewed with them, and I keep meaning to go up to Brighton because it's not that bad to get there on the right day.
You plan a trip to Greeley and hit it on the way, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's easy to hit in that fashion.
But why would you want to go to Greeley? Because Weldworks is coming to Colorado Springs.
But there's still Wiley Roots.
I was going to say.
That's true, there's still
Wiley Roots. The one time I went to Greeley, I went to Wiley Roots and not Weldworks at all. And interestingly enough, I had an allergic reaction to something and couldn't actually taste anything when I went to Wiley Roots.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty
sweet. So before you got there.
I realized I was mid-bite in a Five Guys burger. I wasn't going to taste anything for the rest of the night.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a good day.
But yeah, something, so like the Maximum Effort is a blood orange pale.
Oh, okay.
That one's pretty good.
I like blood orange and stuff.
Yeah, and it was...
I don't know if it's a bloodlust thing or what.
There's a lot of people doing blood orange now. I mean, I feel like that's kind of the hot thing for the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. Everyone was doing blood orange this and that. And then, yeah, that we met on the internet. It's just a straight-up hazy IPA with...
Okay.
Maybe it's a milkshake. It's a milkshake or a hazy. You know, I forget if there's lactose in it
or not. Tomato to lactose.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. But both good, and yeah, they're making it down to the Springs here too. So,
yeah,
and I
honestly don't know what they're working on equipment wise. I think we borrowed their label machine for some, if not all of this. Mm-hmm. Again, I am full of knowledge and information, guys. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate this, and I appreciate Resolute for letting me represent them.
Best guest ever
on this, yes.
But no, this one is good. It's definitely, you definitely get the plum. I think you could have scratched Brute off the can and nobody would have been the wiser.
I think you could scratch Brute off both of these, but they did use the enzyme, though, to dry them out. So, I mean, it is a Brute because of the process and stuff, so mm-hmm. I get it.
Well, and I saw a comment by the guy that was, like, you know, credited for creating the Brute style, basically talking about how, you know, in this year, he's expecting that most of the brewers that are making Brutes right now, you know, a lot of them will just stop making Brutes and they'll just go to just making hazies or just doing, you know, something different. But then some of the people that are really like being like scientific and intricate with their stuff will continue making Brutes and make them better and better and better and better and better. So
there are some people like perpetuating the style and trying to advance it and stuff.
Right.
I dig them in the right. Excuse me, I dig them in general. I mean, there's really rarely a beer style I don't like. I like Brute because with the IPAs that I had early on, it's almost like a masterclass on what a hop could taste like. Like, if you're going to do a single malt, single hop, like IPA, I think Brute could really help you out there. Like, if you dry that out a little bit more.
Smashy Brutes.
Yeah, and you start, like, just really getting a feel for what that hop does. But even though the point of a smash is to get that grain in there too, so that might eliminate a little bit of that. But it could beat out the whole homebrew trick I remember hearing about where people would drop hop pellets into Bud Light just to get the vibe of what that hop really tastes like, because Bud Light doesn't taste like anything.
We did that in our homebrew club at one point, and it almost ruined Mosaic for me because unisomerized Mosaic, like if it hasn't had that little, you know, moment of heat, or because even when you dry off, there's a little bit of thermal reaction going on there.
Sure. Especially if you're doing like a flame out edition or something.
If they're not biotransformed a little bit somewhere along the way, it tastes like green onions.
Really?
In over concentrated form.
Interesting.
And yeah, so that it almost ruined Mosaic for me. And I like Mosaic.
I was gonna say Mosaic's not an unpopular hop right now either.
Right. So yeah, it's not a bad experiment, but you got to be real spare with your dosing.
And I didn't think I actually didn't realize that part of it, that they could do that. So yeah, that's always everything with a grain of salt, right? Man, I'm with you, Henny.
Bless you.
It's allergy season right now.
It is.
It's just crazy.
It's bad.
I feel pretty good about not suffering from these things.
Yeah, you're lucky.
You are lucky.
Good thing you're genetically strong and tall.
Something something Viking genes. So we're coming up on festival season now.
Yeah.
I mean, we are literally getting into the teeth of it. There's stuff happening already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was already a ill-fated beer festival out in North Carolina that we're going to have to talk about ever so slightly. But like now, one of our favorites is coming up on June 8th here in basically what 3 weeks, the Feast of St. Arnold, coming up here in Colorado Springs.
Family. I'm not familiar with
June 8th.
That one.
Yep. Yeah, June 8th. It's a family friendly beer festival held at a church. All the proceeds from it go to this Westside Cares charity. It's just a lot of fun. It's typically on the hottest day of summer. I almost died last year, but it's still one of our favorite beer festivals. Like right at the end, it's just like, I got to get some water and sit down because it was...
It's always so hot.
Too hot and just, you know...
Or it pours rain.
Tall and overheated, yeah. I wouldn't mind a little like balance between the two, you know, just a little sprinkle that rolls through to cool you off.
It's hotter than all get out, and then it rains, and then you have that nice humidity that no one is used to, and you just get those sweaty balls, you know, and
it's like a heated version where you're just like, I'm shivering, yet it's like steamy out right now.
That's how Michigan is in the summer, just all the time.
Minnesota, man.
I was going to say, you get it, too.
Yeah, we know.
You're just across the pond.
But yeah, so talking about the wrong way to do a beer festival after talking about one of our favorites there, Untappd, who a lot of people might be familiar with because they have an app that lets you rate beer and torment brewers, had their own beer festival in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my cousin was at this thing. He bought early access to go in early. He said he got in the door and there were breweries there that didn't have their beer yet. Like, the logistics part of it wasn't working. Like, they went to the places that didn't have any beer.
Like no kegs had arrived to their booth, basically.
Right, yeah. And it's 80-some-odd degrees. You know, they're having trouble keeping the beer cool. And then, to add insult to injury, they're in this open-air stadium. Weather rolls in. And so they have to evacuate the stadium. And so they make everyone who got early access leave. People who didn't have early access couldn't get in. And they turned people away at the gate. I mean, it was just this PR nightmare of sorts of a beer festival. And you know, I get it. We had something kind of similar happen here in town with the 719 Beer Festival a few years ago where they were in this soccer stadium and the weather rolled in and they basically had to cancel it because they couldn't get out of lightning warnings to actually have the festival.
Yeah.
Well, the Untappd Festival managed to get permission to stay there 2 hours later than they were supposed to. And they eventually did reopen with beer, and anyone who was still around was welcome to come back in and, you know, partake. But at that point, I think they'd lost a number of people. People who'd been turned away were, you know, mad and had gone home. I mean, it was, for being as well-known as Untappd is, it was a shit show, and people took to Twitter to roast them royally for it. I mean, it was absolute fire. I think this happened like May 4th.
I like how you used the word fire right there.
F-Y-R-E? Like,
yeah. Yep.
I see Ryan's looking it up, so I want to let him...
So this is just from one of the Charlotte newspapers or news organizations. And supposedly, this is a quote from them, "With glass not allowed on the playing field, a durable plastic cup would have been fine to hand out as a souvenir cup. But people were coming at them with nacho cheese ramekins and then red Solo cups."
Oh my God.
I saw on Twitter someone going like, they ran out of the souvenir cups, and because they didn't get enough, and so the first thing they were handing them was nacho cheese like dip cups.
Great, because that holds beer. I mean, I don't know. Have you seen some of those hazy glasses that people are using now? You might as well just use that.
Yeah. But
and my cousin did say, too, when he came back in later after they reopened it, after the weather passed, that it was basically like, get a Solo cup because brewers were like, we got beer for days that we got to get rid of now.
Yeah, I guess if they got beer late, I mean, I was going to make a joke that I bet some of those brewers are great, like really happy that it got delayed a few hours because they actually got all their stuff together and they could do it. But then you got to serve that shit. And once you tap a keg at a festival, if you don't finish it off, you can't take that home and like put it on a line somewhere. You gotta throw that away. So that's just like a half a keg of beer. I mean, anytime I do an event, I'm like, all right, who, you know, as long as I'm not going to go past the temporary liquor license that allows you to serve, but I'm just like, all right, who needs some beer? Let's load this shit up and get these things empty.
Let's kill this keg. I don't want to carry this back to my car full.
It's a lot lighter when it's empty too. So shoot.
So another thing that like this article says is that the event didn't start till 3, but they had the brewers arrive there between 10 and noon.
That sounds about right, though. Loden's usually pretty early.
Well,
but then how do you not have your beer at your booth at 3 o'clock when people show up?
That's on the festival for
I realize it's not on the brewers, yeah.
Well, let's see, the brewers could bring all their stuff to get set up Thursday and Friday before.
You can usually bring your... You're like your tablecloth, your booth and stuff, but...
Well, no, they were supposed to bring the beers and be stored in refrigerated trucks.
All right, well, then that's different than what I've experienced.
It seemed to be just like a complete mess.
Sounds like it.
Logistics were not the top priority for this.
Well, and the fact that they didn't have a bad weather plan.
Yeah, have a contingency, especially like...
If it's going to rain.
I'm terrible at geography, but I feel like Charlotte is probably somewhat near the ocean. I mean, the Carolinas are both oceanside states.
They're close enough where it might rain.
You should probably keep that in consideration.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's... You hate to say it, but sometimes you got to learn the hard way.
No, it's
with
true.
This stuff. And yeah, it's unfortunate because you're absolutely going to get barbecued for it. Same thing happened with that 719 Beer Festival I was talking about. They got... torched for it.
But do you guys think...
Same thing, basically. It was a big version of the 719 Day.
Exactly, yeah.
But do you guys think the Untappd brand is strong enough they could pull this back together and try again? I think they might have a shot at it. Like, I don't think they're a one and out. Like, it's... I think they might have two, possibly three strikes before they're really just boned on something like this.
Yeah, I think they'd be able to pull it off again if they chose to.
And I mean, I don't use Untappd anymore, but I know a lot of people who do.
Same and, here. I use it to check beers in. I stopped rating beers on there long ago because half the time when I would try to rate them, I would like try to do the picture and they would change my rating to like a 2. I'm like, no, I love that beer. Screw off.
No. And you can't go back and edit it.
Well, you could delete them, but then you'd have to do the whole check-in again, which was a hot pain in the butt.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, yeah. I've been drinking, you know?
Yeah. Especially at a festival, if you're checking in your 1 ounce sample.
Yeah, if you do that, you're worse than Hitler.
All right, I see empty glasses. I'm going to open this can that I got from New York. Other Half Brewing.
Yes.
There Feels Like Outer Space triple IPA, I think.
Triple IPA.
That's, I think, what their website says.
Let's see. We're running the gamut here. Started out with Sessions, couple of Brutes.
I was talking IPA. With some people about triple dry hop to begin with, and then they're like, what's a triple IPA? I'm like, you don't even want to know, because I can't explain it properly.
It's a barley wine with attitude.
Yeah.
This is a triple IPA brewed with Golden Promise, torrefied wheat, malted wheat, and oats, and hopped with Galaxy, Vic Secret, and El Dorado.
Nice.
Vic Secret. Woo! I'm wearing my Vic Secret underoos right now.
So these guys...
not a secret anymore.
Secret revealed. They're down in Brooklyn, and... What they do a lot of things that you could probably look at and say, oh, that sounds like a milkshake IPA or whatever. But they call them oat cream IPAs. And so they're using like oats.
Sorry, that just, for whatever reason, that sounds like a gross fucking name to me.
Oat cream.
They are so good, though.
Sam,
this is.
Are you ready for my oat cream?
Exactly. That's.
Guys, now we have to put the explicit.
Yep, sorry.
Sorry.
That's what happens when you invite Sam. The explicit note has to go up.
Holy cow. Beer's good.
A little bit in there. Oh, yeah. Nice
and IPA-y. It smells really good. I love the nose on it.
Mm-hmm.
God, you can't see through that, though.
Yeah, that's...
Wow!
That's definitely hazy IPA right there. And that's doesn't drink like a triple. What's the ABV?
10.5.
I'd call this a foggy IPA.
Yeah. That's really good. I really like that.
Oh, the initial... I almost have like a peppery initial hit on that when I first start sipping on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like a pink peppercorn type
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not...
Yeah, not like black fruitier. Pepper or spicy, yeah. Spicy, but yeah. Oh, that's... I like this a lot. I'm a fan.
Yeah. Everything... I went down to the brewery. It was like a Wednesday night, middle of the week. Place was... packed to the gills.
Wow.
They have a cool thing where they've got a bar, but there's no seats at the bar. So it's just you walk up to the bar and order at any point of the bar and then go back to where you're standing for.
So it's like
it's a total stand up type of place.
Right. There's seats. There's some community tables. But I'm like, that's a great way to make sure that there's no line really, like, for getting a beer. There is, because you have to wait in line sometimes.
Yeah.
But you're right belly up to the bar right away.
But it keeps it. What it does is it opens it up, so you don't have people sitting at the bar. So you're creating pinch points.
Right, you're not trying to get between two people.
Yeah, or you're trying to get between, you know, some folks that are trying to make out at the bar, whatever's going on there. You can just,
or they're just sitting there for the whole time.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know about you, but I try to explicitly get between those two people.
It was a great spot.
They leave some room for the Holy Spirit.
You just try to get your face right in between the kiss. You get one on each cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. Feeling loved.
I think Weldworks is probably the closest, you know, in Colorado to what they've been doing over there. But they had 20 beers on tap, and 13 of them were IPAs.
All right.
But they had things like wheat wines and sour Berliner Weisses.
So their other beers were pretty well varied out.
Yeah, they had a lot. They had porters. They had stouts.
Okay.
They had,
no, doing a lot of different things. You don't see many people do a porter nowadays.
Right.
It's a,
I know,
vastly unpopular style.
We get asked one for all the time after we had one at All Colorado. And
oh, I remember, like, you had that, yeah.
And I was like, oh, you got that porter? I'm like, no.
Yeah. Porters are good, but they're not in the demand that... It's England,
it's a niche.
1824.
It's a strange niche. And as, you know... As, like, the marketing mind that I have, which, again, is very bad, but I'm always curious. Like, people are always asking, and it's fascinating to me how these niches come out. You know, people are always like, do you have a porter? Do you have a plain stout? And we're down in the suburbs, down to the south, so, I mean, we get a lot of people that are like, do you have just, like, a lager? And we keep a Kolsch on right now. Pretty consistently.
You know, and Kolsch is good.
Yeah. It's a solid Kolsch, and, you know, people are like, you got a lager or a Pilsner? I'm like, drink this Kolsch. If you hate it, just tell me.
It's like somebody asked the other day in one of the beer groups. They said, where can I get a really good amber? And I had to sit and think about it. I'm like,
yeah,
who the hell still makes an amber?
Yeah.
Why do people still drink the ambers?
Some people just love those darn things, apparently.
Some people just love fat tire, man.
I will disclose that the porter they had on was an imperial porter brewed with cocoa nibs, banana, vanilla, almonds, caramelized croissants.
That's like our porter right now. That's awesome.
Caramelized croissants?
Caramelized croissants.
Actually, no, I lied. That's not like our porter.
I like the name, though. Stay Wild Moonchild.
Yep.
That's,
they've got some great names. Nice. It was brewed with Garage Project Brewing.
Yeah, a lot going on there, though.
Garage Project.
So, I got a chance to try the Spumani Dream, which is their Imperial Stout. They brewed with Angry Chair Brewing.
Oh, nice.
That one's got pistachios, cocoa nibs, cherry, and lactose.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like Spumani ice cream.
Yeah.
It was super good.
Did they hit it pretty close, like, to the ice cream?
It was weird. Like, it was... creamy, it was
good,
tasty.
Weird?
Yeah, like good, okay. Weird. Like it was, like, you're like,
just making sure.
How is this liquid? Like,
yeah.
It didn't taste like it should be. Like as if you took the ice cream and melted it, and then, like, right as it was still cold but melted, you just, like, drank it out of a glass.
But it wasn't as viscous as that?
It's almost like milkshake
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, okay. So it still was viscous, but
it was
not
so,
like,
viscous.
Okay. Interesting.
I was like, whoa, this is weird. It was so good.
Hmm.
But, yeah, everything they had was, you know, weird, but a lot of really good things.
I was talking with someone the other day about adjuncts and how there are some folks out there brewing beers just for the sake of making it weird and just out there. And I always bring up Shorts Brewing, and I don't know how familiar you guys are with it, because Shorts...
Very.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I guess. In Minnesota, you've probably heard of them.
Well, so
probably got them a little bit.
We get Soft Parade out here all the time. But the,
we,
like,
do now,
GABF, they'll pour, like, their pistachio cream ale and stuff like that.
They do come out to their... I forget, they always come out for, like, the events, and then we get some drops. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, they always distributed within Michigan. So, to me, Shorts was just as natural as the day was born. They were started in 2005, very shortly before I got into craft beer. And so, they have always had just the most outrageous flavors. And... for a long time, I just always kind of assumed Joe Short was just fucking with us. And I honestly think he was really trying to push the envelope of what people could conceive a beer to taste like, which is funny, because now that's what everyone's doing. You got your pastries, you got your, you know, your milkshakes, you got your all these crazy sours and stuff. And I go back and I try some of the stuff he's doing, and it's like, this still tastes so much like beer with the stuff that's in there. It's weird. Like old to New Guard, which is, you know, 14, 15 years separated.
Yeah.
But it's wild.
They're always one of my highlights, hitting up for GABF, because they bring, you know, half their stuff is that weird stuff. And you're like, I got to try all of this.
Man, they were the sole brewery for a tap takeover for one of the Hopcats in Detroit. And I think that tap room had 120-something or something crazy, over 100 taps. And Shorts had a different beer in every single one of them. They were the sole brewery for that tap takeover when they opened. And it's like, who makes 127 different beers, except for Weldworks when they're doing their, whatever, 99 problems but a beer ain't one experiment?
Yeah. Well, and them and
they
Sam
cleared
Adams.
130, what, in a year?
Well, yeah, that's what it was.
Sam Adams makes like 70 or 80 year round.
Yeah, but who drinks those?
Speaking of, we should probably talk about Sam Adams and Dogfish Head doing what they did.
Sam Adams and Dogfish Head. You mean Samuel Caligione and Dogfish Head?
Sam, old Sammy C and Boston Beer Co.
Yes.
Let's get down to brass tacks here.
I think it's a good thing. People are all freaking out about it, but...
Are they? I've been reading any of the reactions. I saw it, like... I mean, the day it happened, I wasn't on the internet for about 8 hours, and I got on, and my feed was... I'm not even exaggerating. 7 to 9 stories in a row were just all that.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
And that's what it was. The day it happened, it was just...
Ding, ding,
Sam,
ding,
Sam,
ding,
Sam, ding, Sam, ding. Sam, 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 Sam.
Great day to be named Sam, right?
Yeah. And it was, I don't know. I've seen some speculation where they say, you know, maybe they had some big, you know, venture capital thing come due that they didn't have the liquidity to pay off.
See,
and
that's what I think it was. I think because they had 15% of their brewery bought by private equity.
Yeah.
Some years ago. And it might have been those people were like, hey, you know, we're trying to get, we'd like to move on to the next, you know, investment. Can we get, you know, can we get our investment back? And they're like, crap.
Sure. Yeah. Let me talk to Jim Cook real quick.
Yeah. I do like that they, you know, did say they're going to remain independent, but, you know, and I think it lets them cut some overhead. I mean, speaking as someone who works in acquisitions, the instant you do that, the instant you merge, become acquired, whatever, there's redundancies you can get rid of, and it saves you some money, and it's callous, and it kind of sucks, but, you know, marketing, sales, you know, accounting, HR, those are the things that now you've got redundancy and you don't need, you know, probably half of them at that point. And it's a harsh reality, but you can get by with, you know, saving 25% of the company you acquire plus your guys, and you're good to manage everything at that point. Yeah. And it's the reality.
That's capitalism and large business like that.
Right.
You know, they're when a smaller business gets absorbed into a larger business, the whole idea is to make the larger business better.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this instance, I am always grateful that they, I don't know, I guess usually a lot when you hear a large business absorbing a smaller business, it's Anheuser-Busch absorbing somebody, and you're like, all right, that's going to get fucked up. But in this instance, I, you know, Jim Cook, Ryan, you may have talked about this on some of the old Beer and Loathing podcasts before about how he's a proponent of craft beer. They're huge. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that they are as big as they are and still getting the craft label and stuff. But Jim Cook, I feel like deep down, or at least the fucking team that... Sorry, I'm a little buzzed. Starting to get the loose lips here.
He's a granddaddy, an OG, if you will, of craft beer.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, big time. So I feel like when they say they're going to run Dogfish Head as they would like to, yeah, there's probably going to be, like you said, some of those redundancies that are cut.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just... To me, it's a great label for Sam Adams to have that people know. Yeah. And
imagine if you're Dogfish Head in this situation, you can continue to do your fun, weird stuff, and you could basically say, hey, you know, Sam Adams, you got this big brew house, roll out some 60-minute, some 90-minute, you know, on the big systems.
Yeah.
You know, and we can stick to doing our fun, weird stuff that they do, like Bitches Brew and that sort of thing. You know, it...
Have you guys met Sam before?
Yeah.
Do you get the impression that he's ready to just not necessarily be in the direct line of the operations? He's going to be more of like a proponent, an advocate, figurehead, ambassador and stuff. I mean, that's kind of what I actually thought, especially when I saw 401,000 shares or whatever. Like, guy's going to be doing all right.
Yeah,
give or take,
he's gonna be fine.
But the one time I met him, he's such a delightful person, And I think he almost is better served as this evangelist that helps educate people against big beer. And I know people always kind of bitch about Boston Beer walking that line, because they are huge. And there's no denying that. But at the same time, they don't embody the values that what vilifies big beer to me. They don't have those same like mantras and stuff. So I think kind of cutting Sam Calagione loose to go help educate, stimulate, chug beers with people, man. Just whatever, man. I think that's going to be a good move for everybody. And he's on their board, so I mean, he's going to still be able to be involved with stuff. So
right, and Sam Adams as a large brewing company. You know, the difference between them and a big beer company like ABM Dev, is that, you know, he's not out here trying to squash craft beer brands or buy them up and pass them off as craft when they're not independent and craft owned anymore. He's approaching it from a different avenue.
Yes, I agree.
You know, it's not this acquire and destroy. It's, you know, acquire and build.
Yeah, it's a constructive move, not a
destructive move.
Destructive slash infiltration move.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm just reading a little bit more about the terms of the transaction.
I actually did math when I read it, and I know.
Yeah,
it's you should have seen the steam coming out of my ears when I did it.
Yeah. Pikachu, oh, wow face.
Our guy is making 127. $1,700,000.
Well, so the line that I think cues why this happened is Dogfish Head's shareholders will also receive $173 million in cash, most of all which is for the benefit of Dogfish Head's financial investors.
Yeah.
With the exception of certain transaction related expenses. So it sounds like private equity wanted their money, basically.
Yeah.
How many years ago did you say it was? I mean, most of those guys are looking for a 5-year return. That's kind of the gold standard.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was 10 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's, I mean, most scientific wild ass guess there.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, nothing to back that up.
2015 was when they sold 15%.
So they're hitting the 5-year mark.
Then, yeah,
they're looking at 4, but they're approaching the 5-year, and who knows, man? I mean, we're still doing that little specific scientific wagon that you're talking about. They might be like, yo, it's about 6 months away.
Yeah, so by the time the transaction closes, 5-year mark.
Touche, yep.
Yep, there it is.
I say touche, like that didn't just help prove my point.
In your defense, you've been drinking.
In my defense.
And speaking of drinking, there's still one beer on the table that I've been deathly curious staring at for the last little bit.
I love this beer.
And this is so brand new from Resolute, canned.
This is solely
gonna be available in the tap room soon.
Yep.
I don't know when this is gonna come out, but tell us the date that this will be available.
Let me pop it open, and that's why I was trying to do.
It's all good.
I was trying to
wipe it up.
I know. I just.
So before we move on to this, just pause 1 second. The one thing that really irks me about the whole merger thing is that going forward, on all Dogfish stuff, it'll have the Sam Adams logo on their stuff. Even though saying they're separate companies.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
In the future, expect Dogfish Head and Sam Adams logos on all bottoms, bottles, cans, and packaging materials.
Huh.
So that's the thing that it's like, yeah, you want to be separate, but... And I guess I haven't looked at a Perrin can and see if it has a Oscar Blues logo on it.
I haven't either, actually. And
but also, like at the same point, like this is a big acquisition for Sam Adams.
Yeah, it's not a cheap move.
You look at the breweries that, you know, Oscar Blues has picked up. You know, they picked up Perrin, which was, you know, for people that know them, was a big one. But for everyone else, they're like, all right, who's that? Same with they picked up Deep Ellum out of Texas. So if you know them, you've been to GABF, you know them. They make great beer. But if you didn't, it's like, eh.
I mean, Cigar City
was
probably...
Your parents are going to know about it.
Cigar City is probably the most
noteworthy.
Notorious, I would say.
Yeah.
Not even in a bad way, but just the most noteworthy is probably better. Brewery that they picked up originally.
But I don't think... But like, around all day. My parents, my dad even asked me, so what do you think about this? And I'm like, holy cow, like you're hearing about this. And it's because Dogfish Head and Sam Adams, they might be totally different in size of companies, but they're in that same sort of sphere where they've really pushed being... They're basically the main competitors to Coors and Bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've pushed themselves to that forefront.
You go to most places, and it's like you've got Most standard, you know, fast casual restaurants, like Texas Roadhouse, for instance. You go in there and they're like, we got Coors Light, Bud Light, blah, 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 blah. And then Sam Adams.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, or yeah, no, it's...
some Dogfish Head something. But more often than not, there's a Sam Adams in there. So everybody knows Sam Adams.
Yeah. And, I mean, I do kind of actually like the fact that they alluded to the fact that they, between Jim Cook and Sam Calagione, they started, what's that that beer festival over in New England? Is it Extreme Beer Festival?
The one that Beer Advocate does?
Yeah. Maybe? Yeah, Extreme, I mean, they were both involved in that. And, like, I don't know, that's, whether or not it's just good PR or what, but they're on the same page. Like, they're, to me, mentally, they're both going in the same direction. So that's why it didn't stand out as weird to me. And I don't know. Honestly, I'm not as affronted by the acquisition market. I'm more curious to see who gets picked up and why. And, you know, if they do, they do. Not apologizing for anything the big boys do, but...
I think we're going to see more of it. I think there's going to be some more mergers before the year's out. I couldn't tell you who, but I think we're going to see more.
I'd like to see it happen on the local level more, too, though.
You think so?
Like up in Denver, Wits End and Strangecraft.
Right.
That's interesting. These little, I want to call them alliances more so than acquisitions. Yeah. You know, these are people that are getting together and realizing, you know, we can still have independent brands, but also share the cost of goods, share the business side of it, which is what's 9 times out of 10 is going to kill a new brewery. Is if you don't run it right, if you're not running it right, you're not making good beer. Those are the two just death knells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a brewery down here doing both of those.
Yeah. They're just going
double whammy.
They made it 51 days.
51?
Yeah.
Damn. Didn't catch that one. RIP, I guess.
Yeah, and it's funny because on one of our last podcasts, we distinctly called them out about, you know, not having beer available and having weird schedules. And then literally like two days after we recorded, they're like, and we're done. We hadn't even released the podcast yet. So
they were 2 months behind on rent.
Yeah, it was weird.
You guys are prophets.
We are.
Clearly.
We end people's careers and we...
Yeah. It's cool, man.
Promote death knells for breweries.
Yeah. Pray we don't talk about you. Sorry.
Or be your guest.
So basically my whole wrap-up thing for the Dogfish Sam Adams thing is that Dogfish, they make all this crazy weird beer.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to sort of push towards making, you know, they like with Sequench. It's like that's their mass market... That's their mass market thing. And with Sam Adams, they've been trying to innovate, but they never really do it very well.
Yeah.
So by merging the two, they both get what the other's not good at.
Yep, absolutely.
So hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens down the road.
That's actually, I know you're just wrapping this up.
Yeah,
that's I have a final thought, I guess, of my own, is that a lot of the old OG breweries, I say old, a lot of the OG like craft breweries, they're struggling with what to do. I like your face right now.
This next beer we're drinking is ridiculous.
Yeah. Isn't it, though?
Even while Ryan was talking, I'm just over here like mouthing at Sam. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so happy. But I didn't break it. I didn't make it, obviously, but I love it. But I think the big challenge a lot of these OG breweries are having is how to appeal to this new generation. Like, you can't just throw out a hazy. And that being said, I think New Belgium with their Voodoo Ranger, they've come the closest to hitting the mark on that market. And there's plenty of other breweries that are trying, and I respect the hell out of that, but it's tough. And the question is, do you stick to your guns and assume you know, traditional styles are going to come back in, or do you try to pander? It's not even pander. Do you try to just get into that new market? And Sam Adams is... Given their size, you know, in manufacturing, a company of that size is the least mobile, in theory.
Right.
And so what they're doing is they're picking up someone who is mobile and can hinge on whatever they need to do. If they're like, all right, you know, we need to make a brute, we need to make a hazy, we need to make something with lactose in it, let's make something with, you know, straight up cow's milk, raw, whatever, let's do it. And
do the weird stuff.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
like what, they, like how Josh was saying, like they might make 60 or 90 over at the Dogfish, or at the Sam Adams, they might make something crazy for Sam Adams at the Dogfish facility,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they can make something small, package it still nicely,
what Sam Adams bought was a very, very high capacity
R&D studio.
R&D studio, yes. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. I was struggling with that one, but yes. So, you know what? Cheers to them, and good for them, and let's see what happens. I'm into it.
All right, last beer we got here.
We
got
to talk about this.
Oh, yeah, crap, we do. Dude. So,
your guys' reactions are making me very happy. Yeah, because
Resolute Tangential. Tangential, actually, is how I would say that.
Tangential.
Yeah.
Tangential.
There we go.
Yeah.
And cool can artwork. I like that. So it's a mimosa-inspired brut ale fermented with Sauvignon Blanc grapes and tangerines, and it is friggin' amazeballs.
Does this not taste like a mimosa to you guys?
Yeah, it's got that dryness and that Sauvignon Blanc grape. Must is a perfect complement to the brut style. I love that pairing no matter what. And then the tangerines, I mean, there's a fair amount of tangerines in there, obviously. It's got that very orangey... You know, I mean, it's like a mimosa.
Yeah, and I don't know what the, ratio of grapes and tangerines were in there, but, oh, man, I got lucky. I was working one morning, and Justin, our head brewer, came back, and he just handed me this glass of something. I'm like, what is this? He's like, just try it. And I sipped it. I'm like, did you make me mimosa? Because I didn't open a lot, and I still really don't, but... Either way, I'm like, thanks for the mimosa. They're like, no, that's a beer, bro. I'm like, really? And like this, it was pre-carbed. It was still very raw, and even then, it was amazing. So.
But it's super clear. I mean, it's
clarified.
I can see Sam through
hardcore.
This thing.
Hardcore, yeah, absolutely. It's
so it's not drinking like a hazy. It's brilliantly clear.
No, and you know, even on the label, they're not calling it a brut IPA. They're just calling it a brut ale,
right?
Because really. If you're looking at a manufacturing level, I don't know what hops they use in this, or I'm assuming they do. I'm full of information here.
You got
to
add something
You
to
can
it.
Go back to your notes if you want to.
It didn't say what the hops were in the notes. Okay. It was all the other stuff.
Yeah, but it's probably... There's probably not enough IBUs to realistically call it an IPA.
Exactly.
So that's fine.
And exactly. I mean, we're not trying to pull the wool over people's eyes.
Dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah, this is my new favorite beer.
This releases when, so I can come buy a case
of
it exactly?
We are releasing it on the same day we're opening the new location, May 24th.
So it's available at the new location?
We're going to have cans there. There's going to be a select amount on tap there. Let me make sure my notes is right. The long and the short is, since we made this all ourselves and we don't have to share with something, which, again, David, thank you. We love you. We're doing... $6 10-ounce drafts, $6 16-ounce cans, 4 packs for $20, and it should be available at both locations. And I highly recommend doing that. Buy a 4-pack and then go have brunch somewhere on your own accord or
and blow someone's mind.
BYOB, and especially if they're not a beer drinker, and then they're gonna be like. You just fed me the best mimosa of my life. Hmm. It's our take. It's a modest take on like a beer mimosa.
That's no, great. It's fantastic.
And you know, the $20 a 4-pack, I think people complain about prices, but this thing's 10.2% alcohol. Like this is one can of this is like perfect among three of us.
That's reasonable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a 10-ounce pour in the draft room or the tap room.
Yeah.
Whatever we call it right now. You know. For me, yeah, I'm with you.
It's $10 at that place that I work.
And I'm not saying this as just an advocate for my own brewery here, but I don't buy beer as much as I used to. But when I do, like for me, $4 for a pounder of something that's 10%, that's not bad at all. Because you know you're paying way more than that for 16 ounces if you do the math at a actual tap room and stuff.
Oh yeah, no, it's great. It's tasty.
That same thing would cost you, $8-$10 at a tap room. So
amen.
That's super.
Eight
good.
Bucks for your.
I'm glad you guys like it. Honestly, like you guys are the first people outside the brewery to try it. So
ooh,
yeah, you're welcome.
So there's a weird thing that happens with it. I almost taste vanilla. But I think it's my brain because I love Station 26's
tangerine
cream.
Yeah.
And it's got a very similar tangerine flavor to that. And so my brain's thinking, vanilla.
It. You know what? I honestly haven't thought about this hard. I've just been sipping on it the past couple times I've tried it. But no, it does have almost like a residual sweetness, which is strange for the brutness, but it it works so well, and I don't know if it's that's so the fruits or whatever, but it's, yes.
It's great. Color's great. It's super clear.
It doesn't taste at all like a 10% beer, which is dangerous.
Well, that's what you want,
but
right?
It is.
So I'm going to ask probably a bad question, but for
I'll
your
give
tangerine,
you a bad answer.
I mean, is this whole fruit additions or
it's
is this
puree?
Does it?
Puree. Okay.
Good. Read the label. I don't know.
On the label, it says, we decided to take the style into a whole new direction with the addition of Sauvignon Blanc, grape juice, and tangerine puree.
Hmm. There it is.
But I was almost wondering if it was extract because
there's probably a little extract.
So much of that flavor.
There has to be a little extract, though, because there is so much of that.
I can't confirm or deny. And,
it's okay.
Again, like, I'm not gonna have a job after this, so it's cool.
No, it's fabulous. Yeah. No, and that's the thing.
We don't care. It's amazing either way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing is that there's places that'll use, you know, 99% puree and then a touch of extract to just help pop that puree up,
just punch it up a little bit.
Because sometimes the puree, you get these aseptic purees from like Oregon fruit, and they come in and you know it makes everything taste really good, but the aroma doesn't have the same punch.
Sure.
And you need a little bit of that oils, those extract oils, to just have that punch when someone opens a can, those volatile oils go in the air, and they go, oh, my God, tangerine.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is I know someone I can ask about this. So,
well, you're lucky.
We need to post in the comments. We need to post in the comments the actual
And that's the thing is that it doesn't really need to be there because some people might taste it differently.
Yeah. It's subjective. That's the beauty of beer.
And that's what I did with... I had a homebrew where I did that, added a bunch of blackberry puree, but then extract to punch the aroma up.
Okay.
And it's the exact same reasoning, like you said, that's why you do it. You get this non-fermentable, you know, non-volatile component that can, you know, be there for the aroma.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like, we've talked about it multiple times. There was a talk at Big Beers where there's IPA guys that'll be making an IPA and they'll add fruit to it, but they won't even say it on the label that it's got fruit in it, just because it helps accentuate the hops.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same thing. Like, you know, you can put a ton of puree in this, and the flavor might taste great, but when you sit there and you sniff it,
you don't get that.
You might not get it, or it might not be completely what you wanted. And so a lot of times they'll add a little of something, extract or a natural flavoring, just to.
Little dose of orange peel or something.
Although, I mean, the it's fact that it doesn't say womp on here anyways makes me think it's just the puree, which, you know, sometimes that puree has enough of that, especially with the tangerines being a citrus fruit, it might have enough of that
rindy,
citrus oil, rindy stuff to actually...
Super citrus. There we go. Tip of the tongue, teeth, and lips. Super citrusy stuff. There's a vocal warm-up for you, boys. Super citrusy stuff.
Super citrusy.
Super citrusy stuff.
Super citrusy stuff.
Might be a episode title right there, too.
There it is. Super citrusy stuff. Well, Sam, give us the rundown on Resolute, new location, and where people can find your stuff.
Yes. So, new location is going to be in Northwest Arvada in the Candelas development, just off Highway 72, about a mile east of Highway 93. We're opening on May 24th, 2019. We'll be open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. We're going to have an assortment of barrel-aged beers and some beautiful standards from our mothership down in Centennial. If you can't make it up, come on down to Centennial. We'll still welcome you there with open arms. It's probably going to be a little bit, but we're going to eventually have our barrel-aged beers down there, so we've got a little bit of both everywhere. And did I miss anything? I don't think I did.
Where can people find you on social media?
Social media, everything is pretty much Resolute Brewing Co. On Facebook, the Twitters, Instagram, and
that's pretty much all the socials.
I mean, if you want to go on Yelp and give us some stuff, that'd be sweet. Not
five
give
star
us some
reviews.
Stuff, but yeah. A lot of reviews. Just we
five out of seven.
Nothing but stars.
Hard fives out of sevens.
Five totally. Out of seven, perfect scores.
Yeah, perfect five out of sevens.
That's all we want.
Yeah, come down and see us. Love to see you. I work a lot of Thursdays, so I'll be behind the bar.